up, we tread this wondrous land. Walking on this earth, we take a stand. With a smile, we open up our eyes. It's departure time. When you're all alone, never think you're on your own. We'll go and find your destiny. Just give it time, continue to breathe. Filled with tenderness, thank you, Earth, for my life's quest. Now that it's time to leave a wish for the best, you can spun again, basking in the sunlight. You can fly away, time to rise up, shine your light, show the world you can make the climb. Waking up, we tread this wondrous land. With a smile, we're running hand in hand. No matter if we fall, we'll try again, knowing
hello everyone, to episode 119 of Dropping the Angst podcast, the Hunter Hunter podcast. Today is just gonna be me and Foxy because Ed's feeling a little sick. He has to go to the doctor, but yeah, Foxy, you're ready, you're excited?
I don't know if excited is the word I'd use, but I'm ready.
Yeah, so last episode we covered the last mission. And we talked about how we're going to be doing character introspections and kind of reviews of certain things, from the series, and, you know, and in lieu of not having new chapters every week, per the hiatus statement. So this week we are going to be covering the very, very beginning, and this is going to be a kite introspection episode.
Right. We're going to take a look at the important character that the 2011 anime decided to skip at the beginning for no reason. Like, it doesn't even make it flow better, so I don't really understand what the thought process was there.
Yeah. I think, again, as just having it fresh in my memory, I kind of have an understanding as to what their thought process was. Because if you think about it, when Gon meets him, he happens to be a small kid. So in terms of your memory having this interaction with someone, you wouldn't necessarily remember it. That someone would just save your life.
I think this is pretty big. I don't think you would forget that.
Well, no, I mean, not the way...
Maybe if he was like 3.
Maybe.
But he was 9.
Well, not only that, but also in the manga, right? As we come to review again. He basically is the one who's responsible for telling Gon that Jin is a hunter and is his dad and he's still alive. Because right. The entire time Mito's telling him that his mom and dad died in an accident and so he's an orphan and that she's taking care of him. Meanwhile, Jin's out there living his best life without a care in the world. And Kite's the one that does that. So, but in the 2011 anime, he does not have that interaction with him. He just knows that his dad is Jin because I think his aunt Mito tells him. So instead of his aunt Mito lying about him. And not only that, but also the whole aspect about Mito taking him away from his dad. Or made him, because like, I don't think that a speech aspect where like, she's like, aunt Mito, thank you for everything. She's like, Gon, I'm sorry. I didn't mean, Jin didn't abandon you. I made him give you up.
Yeah,
that didn't happen in the 2011 anime. So that's why like in that aspect of things, like I think they changed Kite's character to have, I guess, that level of difference, but I still don't understand why they did change it, because it was a very impactful first arc moment type thing, emotional revelation to Gon, because that makes him want to become a hunter. You know, that's the thing that drives him from that point forward.
Yeah. They kind of like skipped over it a bit. And then, like we mentioned in previous episodes, it created a problem when it came to the Chimera Ant arc. And the way that Gon's personality completely flipped, and he was unwilling to forgive Neferpito for killing Kite and turning him into this puppet. And it's like, this is just a dude, more or less, that we met in that arc. So even if Gon has this emotional attachment to him, we don't necessarily have that. Those of us who read the manga, it's a little bit different. But if you're only watching the anime, it is kind of not empty exactly, but close. And I think it makes you less likely to empathize with Gon throughout the arc. Especially when you consider when he meets Pito, like, they're completely emotionally broken at that point and not really interested in a fight. And Gon forces the issue. And this is, you've already got past where it was Kite, of all people, that had the reflection that, like, what happens if you encounter a Chimera Ant that have strong emotional bonds, and, like, he just completely ignores that. Wastes half his life, murders Kite, murders Neferpito, and, like, that whole, I think the emotional impact of the arc is lessened without starting at this chapter one. So in chapter one, we have our introduction to Gon. He fishes up the Master of the Lake, which is the bargain that Mito made with him when he came back saying he wanted to be a hunter. She thought it was an impossible task to give him, or I guess at least that it would give her more time with him, and maybe he'd change his mind. But he manages to catch it, and then we get this flashback of when he was 9, he's in the forest, he comes across a fox bear cub, and I guess he was gonna play with it. And then the mother comes charging out of the forest, and right before it can kill him, Kite blocks the attack, I think, with the katana.
Yeah, with a sword.
And then he says, like, any animal that attacks a human has to die. Kills it. He's really upset about the whole thing. He's yelling at Gon. It's like the signs that the fox bear had a cub are all throughout the forest. How dare you? Did your dad not teach you anything? And Gon's like crying. He's like, no, my dad didn't teach me anything because he's dead and my mom's dead. And Kai kind of softens. And then he says, like, they have to kill the cub also because it hasn't been weaned yet. So it's going to starve to death anyway. And if it somehow manages to live, it's going to grow to resent humans for killing its mother. And Gon is, like, holding the cub, and he, you know, declares he's not going to let him kill him. And he's, the expression he's giving him looks exactly like Jin. And Kite asks, hey, is Jin your father? And he's like, yeah. And this is when Kite reveals to him that Jin Freaks is not dead. He's actually what you call a hunter. He's extremely strong, extremely talented. He's the person that saved Kite's life as a child. He trained him, he taught him then, and he gave him the task to become a hunter, and now his final exam, in that sense, is to be able to find Jin. So he came back to Whale Island, and the implications that he's been there before, and he says he came to try and find a clue as to Jin's whereabouts, and finding Gon in that moment is essentially his clue. And Gon takes that information. He's like, A1, my dad didn't abandon me. 2, he's super cool. I want to be able to meet him also. And as we know, Gon carries that through the series, past the Chimera Ant arc to the election arc, where he finally gets to meet his dad and they have their conversation. Yeah, that's essentially all we get to know about Kite's backstory.
He was some
poor kid who essentially, I guess, was just gonna die, like any other street urchin.
Right.
But Jin happened upon him and saved his life and took him in and all that stuff.
Yeah, which basically led to him developing his desire to want to be a hunter, because it was like he admired Jin, and he's like, that's what I want to do. One of the things that is very I was going back through this now that we see the whole thing and the story play out, is that, you know, obviously Kite goes through his particular arc in the Chimera Antarch, he obviously tries to be there for Gon and Killua and try to be like a mentor figure for them, and he's excited for them and all. But then once he like realizes that he's in over his head, you know, he understands that, you know, he needs to like let them go. So that's why he does the whole thing where he pushes them away and he basically sacrifices his arm for them so that way they can get out of there. And even with his arm cut off, he's still a very powerful hunter. And I don't quite recall if the manga displayed that, because in my mind it's very vivid in the anime where it shows the terrain where Neferpito and Kite fought, and it's devastating.
It did.
Yeah, okay.
Remember there was a GIF, I think, of it going from the manga version to the anime version. So a lot of that is like beat for beat the same.
Cool.
And of course, initially in the manga, we don't get to see the fight at all. Killua knocks Gon out, grabs him, runs, and that's the last we hear of Kite for a while. Until we come back and we realize the extent of Neferpito's powers, and she rigs him up as a puppet. And then I think Knuckle and I can't remember his name. Shoot?
Yeah, maybe Knuckle and Shoot.
They end up sort of capturing the Kite puppet.
Yes.
And then Gon allows Kite to beat him up so he can get close enough to touch him, and then he hugs him and it activates the second portion of the trap, and then he has to leave and he's like, I swear I'm gonna get revenge for you or whatever. I'm gonna fix this. Because of the way that happened, and this goes a little bit into Kite's personality as well as his Nen abilities. So the first thing is that they actually meet Kite in Kaken, which I thought was interesting because I didn't remember hearing about Kaken until we started the Succession arc. They meet him in Kaken. He's working with a group of hunters to identify animal species there. And he's working with a group of hunters that aren't particularly combat ready. But Gon and Killua decide to help out, and they're working at a much faster rate because they're able to use Nen to pick out new and interesting creatures. And as a result of completing that contract, the dude there is like, hey, a guy I know found something that doesn't seem to belong to any of the animals that you guys classified, so would you like to see what that is? And they get shown the leg of the Chimera Ant Queen, and they manage to ascertain, like, it's clearly a Chimera Ant, but it's much bigger than any we're used to. We don't know where this came from. We'd like to take a couple pieces and try and trace back and figure out where this creature came from and where it is. They eventually rule out a bunch of places. They end up in NGL, they get past the border into the country, and as they're like asking questions, trying to find a village that was massacred, realizing the dark side of the country, the two hunters that everybody likes but died immediately end up getting beat up by Chimera Ants. One gets kidnapped. I think it's Ponzu and somebody.
It's Ponzu and the guy with the bow and arrow. I forget his...
So Ponzu manages to use one of her, I want to say bees.
Yeah, it's send the a message wasp, bug, whatever it is.
To this person with the strongest net in the area, and that happens to be Kite. and that's how they get the confirmation that, hey, the Chimera Ants are here. They are murdering. And shortly after that, we get to see Kite, Killua, and Gon fight a group of random Chimera Ants that were together. This is when we get the first look at Kite's weapon. His net ability is called Crazy Slots. It's a conjuring ability. It's like a clown thing. He essentially rolls the dice, gets a number between 1 and 9, and that number corresponds to the weapon that he has to use in the fight. The restrictions are that he doesn't know what the weapon is going to be, and that he has to use it in an attack. He pulls the scythe. They were fighting the Chimera Ants one-on-one. He tells the boys, in 3 seconds, jump straight up. And he swings the scythe in an arc, and it takes out everything that's there. And he seems to hate the abilities of most of his weapons.
Yeah, for the most.
Because it seems like there are a lot of them are random. They're stupid. The clown is very antagonistic.
Like, they don't they have a very weird, like, not necessarily good cop, bad cop vibe, but it's like, hey, look at you. You rolled lucky, or you rolled unlucky. And he's like, shut the fuck up. I hate you. I hate your guts. I hate everything about you. Like, you are, why did I end up getting you as a power?
So I think he would have been fine with the crazy slot if it didn't have a personality.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. He 100% despises his weapon.
So the only ability that the scythe can use is essentially this cut in this wide arc. And, like, it also, like, I guess it has, like, a projectile effect almost, where it, or I guess the backspin or whatever, the wind it creates also has like a cutting effect, because it does a lot of damage in that area. We also got to see him use the rifle and a club, which is the weapon he drew against Nefripito. Jin mentions later on when we meet him, when we find out that Kite's still alive, that he also has one of the slots is a weapon that he pulls when he really, really doesn't want to die. And it's able to save his life in any situation.
Right, which is essentially why he was essentially reborn as Meruem's twin sibling after his death.
Right, and the twin sibling is placed in the body of Colt's younger sister, Reyna. Which is why Colt keeps, when we first see Kite after he's reborn, Colt keeps trying to call the child Reyna, and the child's like, no, my name is Kite.
Yeah, but it's also like Colt doesn't understand why he refers to her as Reyna. Like, he doesn't know who Reyna is until much later on, right?
Yeah.
Once he kind of remembers his background.
Yes. Unfortunately, he and his sister got killed.
Yes. He and his sister got killed
very early on,
but his sister manages to get back to her mother, but he does not go back to his mom, which I thought was always kind of an interesting take on that. But
he's extremely dedicated to the queen and the king later after the queen dies. giving birth to Marum, as one does. Because that dude did not care.
Right. He did not care one bit.
It's like, your only job was to give birth to me. You're welcome. So, fortunately, we don't really get to see much about Kite's fighting ability, because it's kind of just the three times. And he was completely overmatched when it came to Pito, and almost anybody would have been in that situation. He did the right thing in terms of, for the main character's sake, by getting them to run away. Obviously they would have died in that moment, and Killua realizes it, but Gon doesn't until he wakes back up, because apparently Killua hit him so hard that he woke up hours later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knocked him the fuck out.
We can see that the little bit of Kite's personality we see is that he's kind of overconfident in his abilities, and he doesn't realize, like, he has at least a level of intuition where he feels like, as they're fighting against the officers in the Chimera Ant structure, that he was missing something. Like, a part of him suspected that things shouldn't be this easy. And he was like, well, if the officers are this weak, the next level up shouldn't be that bad. But unfortunately for him, that next level had figured out what Nen was.
Yeah.
And they were not only teaching the officers it, but they were, like, actively pursuing eating human beings to learn their knowledge, to absorb some of their abilities. And while all of this is going on, like, Neferpito was the first one of the royal guards to hatch, and they approach Colt and the other high-ranking members, and they're like, oh, hey, because they were trying to find the dude who shoots arrows, and that guy was hiding under the bones and they couldn't find him. And Neferpito's just like, why is there a living one underneath all the bones? They grab him. Pito, like, sticks their needles into his brain and, like, asking him questions about Nen, which is how they end up at the water divination ceremony thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all doing it and all finding out their Nen types. And then Pito decides that they want to stretch their legs, basically. And, like, when Pito leaves, like, there was this one dude who's like, oh, I'm going to be king. And his interaction with Pito was like, oh, no, these things are gods.
Yeah.
I am a
Rabot. Rabot, I think, was the person. Because yeah. That was, so when that happened, that was Rabot got punched by Gon. And if you remember the whole thing about how you activate Nen, it's like, if you get subjected to Nen, it can waken up your ability, but it's going to hurt like a bitch, right? Like, the whole aspect of, like, kind of like how Wing taught them Nen. So, and inherently, without realizing, Gon gave Rabot Nen, which he then proceeded to punch a bunch of other people. To start giving them that initial power.
He made everything worse.
Yes.
But when Pito charges Kite, and Kite senses Pito coming, like, he only has, like, a fraction of a second. Like, Pito crossed a huge amount of distance in, like, a split second.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, as he was turning to warn the kids was when his arm got chopped off.
Yeah.
And that's the moment when he put together, like, this was the thing that I was missing. Like, we've only met up against peons and officers, and yeah, there was a level above them that's a little bit stronger, but the royal guards are, like, born with Nen, and they are way stronger than anything else. And that the three of us here, and maybe the vast majority of hunters Kite's encountered in his lifetime, don't have the ability to actually fight Neferpedo, like whether one-on-one or three-on-one. And him helping to spare these kids allows them to go back to, because Killua didn't stop running until he was at the border. They were able to get the message out, and that's what gets Netero, Nov, and Moral there to kick off the rest of the arc that culminates in the battle. We see Kite three more times after he dies. The first time was just seeing Colt and the kid playing around. The second time is when Koala is apologizing to her for, he was actually the one that killed Reyna. And he's apologizing for, like, being a criminal and a coward and all this stuff. And, like, not having the ability to understand, because he wanted to make things easy on himself. He could have shot the ants that were with him that were trying to kill Reyna, but instead he killed Reyna to put her out of her misery. And in that way, like, it doesn't come back on himself. He won't have to fight them or anything like that. And he's like, he really strongly wished he could have saved her. And Kite's response is like, oh, well, if you feel that bad, then you need to stay by the side of the girl that you killed and work for her until she dies. And then the next time we see Kite after that is when Gon's talking to them, and he's apologetic. He's like, the reason why you died is because essentially you were worried about me and Killua, and if the two of us hadn't been there, you would still be alive. And Kite's like, no. The three of us together, one of us, it didn't matter. Neferpedo, in that moment, was going to kill me. And the making you guys run away is what kept you alive and would essentially turn the tides in the human's favor. But he allows Gon to unburden himself, because he'd been carrying that ever since that attack, that if the kids had not been there, Kite would have been able to fight freely. Like, he wouldn't have been caught off guard trying to save them.
Right.
And allows him to face the reality of, look, this was an enemy that was way stronger than us. And had I been unburdened of you guys, I probably still would have died, because I underestimated the Chimera Ants, and I had to pay the price for that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, I think everyone did. You know, everyone underestimated this whole entire thing, because even the whole concept of, because Meruem doesn't necessarily, he comes into being, but he was already strong from the get-go, right? Because he was absorbing all of these different humans and energy, and then once he got, Pokal was the arrow guy name, by the way. He was given, like, once Neferpedo finished with him, he basically was chopped up and served to the queen. So all of that Nen, all of that energy was basically absorbed, because that's the whole concept of, like, they explain it in early on, and it's Kite's group, right, where the ants, the Chimera ants, have this way of sort of evolving from the next to the next to the next to the next based on their whatever they eat and whatever they absorb. So that ends up being the case, but they would have, I'm of the mindset that regardless of whether Gon and Killua were there, he still would have lost to Neferpedo. Mostly because in the end, the only way that they ended up dying, was, you know, Gon doing that crazy ass thing where he gave up half his life and then had to, you know, beat the shit out of Pito. And even then, Pito was still somewhat, you know, not, I wouldn't necessarily say that they were fighting at full strength at that point. They were just more on edge about trying to protect the king.
Yeah, I think if Pito had their mind right at the time, like, that still would have been a fight. Maybe Gon still could have won, but it would have been very difficult. And, like, that was... I don't necessarily know that Pito was the strongest of the three, and I guess we wouldn't really have a conclusive answer to that.
Yeah.
But Pito's death of the three royal guards seemed like it was the least necessary. Like, that was just for personal grudge sake. Pito didn't seem like they were interested in being a threat at that point. Like, the king had just basically said that Kamugi's life was more important than anybody else's. And if Kamugi dies, you die.
Right.
And if we mention, if we remember that Kite said earlier that the purpose of the king essentially is to go out into the world and reproduce with another species, and that would strengthen the Chimera ants into the next generation. And obviously that was also Netero's concern when he showed up and he realized what the situation was. Like, the king was willing to sacrifice his royal guard to heal this woman. Like, obviously this is the person he intends to reproduce with, and we have to kill him before that happens. Otherwise, humanity is completely screwed. Meruem also being selfish, he ended up, like, upending the structure of the Chimera ants, because the queen is supposed to stay alive and continue to make kings, so that they would able to be able to proliferate throughout the world much faster. But Meruem felt like there's no need for anybody else. I'm the pinnacle or whatever. And I guess Kite's by default is the Chimera Ant Queen now. Yeah,
at this point, kinda. Although, I don't really know how that's gonna play out. I mean, again, where we're at in the story, like, who fucking knows, right? Like, we have no idea what that even has, and, like, how Kite still being alive is gonna impact the story in any way, because even though Kite's growth is surmountable, because, you know, when he gets found, he's but a little baby, I guess. He's but a little, like,
yeah.
Then,
like, I think when Colt found her, like, she could fit in the palm of his hand.
Right.
And then by the time we see her again, she's like 4, and then when we see her the next time, she's like almost the same size as Gon. So you have to figure she'd be an adult pretty soon.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. And if that's the case, what does, you know, in terms of, like, what does the future for Kite hold in the future, in the current storyline? I mean, they are not in on the boat. They are not associated with the mafia. They're not associated with Kakin. They're not associated with the forces outside, which would be the Beyond Netero thing. So, I mean, I understand, you know, from a logistics point of view, why you kind of keep this here to kind of give, because I think at the end, what Togashi tried to do with the whole revival of Kite was to try to give Gon a sense of closure on that level. Like, yeah, you know, for the main character to be able to talk to the person who he felt responsible for it, which, to be honest, I felt like that was something that I don't know that was necessarily needed. But again, I think this is the way that we, you know, it's the aspect of different story writer components, right? Like, not that I'm saying, like, I'm a story writer, but just from the sense of, like, how I think the story diverted, or, like, basically evolved from the beginning of where the story began. We kind of talked about it a little bit later, or like it last week with the last mission, where you definitely see the difference in tone, right? From like the beginning of the anime series where everything's so happy-go-lucky, we're fighting with fucking fishing poles and shit like that, to where you're at now, where like Gon went through all of that shit. He sacrificed his life. He went about all the stuff, threw his life to the wind just to save Kite, or try to save Kite, or try to get revenge on Kite, and then got brought back to life, and then went to go see Kite right away to say, I'm sorry, and I apologize. And there's that scene where Kite is talking to him, and he's like, look, there's nothing for you to apologize for. I heard that you beat him in the end. So you did good, and everything was fine. Which, again, yeah, is the aspect of, I just don't like that. I didn't really necessarily like that scene, because it kind of justified Gon's assholeness at the end there, that everything was fine because at the end, Kite forgave him.
Well, I think it depends on how Kite's going to live their life as the Chimera Ant Queen, or a Chimera Ant in general. The Queen part I keep bringing up because I know we've mentioned this before. Harrison, having left the Hunter organization after winning the election, he has access to, I think it was 100 Chimera Ant eggs. Mm-hmm. And I think if and when those hatch, they're going to be looking for someone to be the queen and continue the cycle again, because that's how they operate. And like, that's the part that to me is interesting about Kite remaining alive. Like, that's the one way that they tie into the storyline, right? Mm-hmm. The Colt and Kite still being alive, along with Koala, the octopus dude, and I don't remember if there was anybody else that survived everything.
We have Bluster.
Right, and Palm.
And Palm, and technically little Reyna, because she does... Well, her name's not Reyna, but her name's Shidori or Haruna. But remember, she's a little ant that basically Bluster, the lobster blue looking guy, takes her back. Shidori. Yeah, Shidori is the name. So she invites Bluster back to the village and tells him to, like, you know, that he could stay there and eat a warm meal. And he's like, okay, fine. Like, he wasn't going to stay there. But then, you know, he accepts, I guess. So there's those two. There's Palm. There's the Koala. There's Welfin.
Yeah, so we have a group of Chimera Ants that are still alive and out there.
Yeah.
And we have Jaro as well. That... their continued existence poses questions, like whether they're going to fully assimilate into humanity as best as they can. Colt and Kite specifically got that designation of magical beasts, which would get hunters off their backs. But we don't know what that's going to do with the general populace. We know that the information never got out because NGL is a sealed country, so the hunters got to write the story of what happened there. So if we get this clutch of Chimera Ant eggs that hatches, do we get another power struggle within the ants in terms of these people that have survived? Are any of them going to seek to be a king or a queen, like we got with the group that ended up in Meteor City and swiftly got murdered? Because they tried to set up a Chimera Ant society there and continue everything they were doing in NGL.
Right, but that was mostly because, again, they set up shop at the Spider's hometown. And the Spiders were definitely not going to let that happen. But
like we mentioned, we do have Gyro there and the spiders are not there at the same time.
Correct.
So maybe that ends up being something that's happening, like, concurrently with the succession arc, where we get like a cutaway and this is what's happening in the real world. While that's going on, we have maybe Gyro setting up shop, and the other Chimera ants that are alive are drawn to him. And with like the vast majority of strong hunters are on board this ship, headed to the Dark Continent, because that's the next big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we have left to deal with the situation? Well, we have a Nenless gone on Whale Island, and we have Killua at Disney World or whatever with Alka. We have the rest of the Zoldyck family, and I guess whoever their associates are. It's like, are these the people that you trust to be able to deal with this challenge? And would they even want to? If they're not paid to do it, and like, who's gonna pay for Meteor City for these guys to try and take out Gyro, and possibly if the other Chimera and eggs hatch, those types of things, like Kite might be the only person in a position to really try and deal with that.
Yeah, it's again, there's a lot to contemplate with the future of Kite here. Like I said, it's just how it all plays out. But it's very, it definitely has, you know, sort of like there's that moment at the end of the Chimera Ant arc where they're kind of watching the swans, you know, that they talked about at the very beginning of the arc.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, it kind of sends a little bit of a closure to it. And, you know, obviously, there's the talk of the between Koala and Kite at the end there of that arc, where Koala is like, you know, I've always been a killer. I've done all these sins. I've done all these bad things and atrocities. And, you know, I don't know what to do with my life. And then that's when they basically propose to him that they stay by their side forever to atone for his sins and his life as a human and as a Chimera arc, Chimera ant. But at that time, as he's finishing that conversation, that's when like Gon comes over and talks to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he says that they both need more training and they both need to get better and stronger. So in my mind, I think based on that, Kite is obviously going to do training. He's obviously been doing training here on his end. With the enhanced Chimera Ant or Chimera Ant powers, I would imagine. Because again, he is technically Meruem's twin sibling.
Yeah. We don't expect Kite to be as strong as Meruem, because Meruem was clearly stealing all the nutrition that was available. But they should be somewhere, not on the same level, but like in the same bracket, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Where Meruem, who had been alive longer, but I think it's still only a couple months at most, had not only eaten most of the nutrition that was available, but had like continued once he was on the outside to consume humans and receive knowledge, where he was beating all those various strategists at all those various games. The knowledge he acquired from playing against Kamugi constantly, his battle ability having increased from fought in the Tarot, like in order to catch up to where Meruem is or was before he died,
mm-hmm.
Kite would have to undergo like a lot of probably really brutal and vicious training to get to that point. None of this impossible, obviously, because we don't know what Chimera ants exactly are made of and what the capabilities of the, I guess, royal family would be in terms of kings and You know, this queen was weak, but that doesn't mean that all would have been.
What's that?
Oh, I was saying that we don't know that all of the queens would be weak.
No, of course not.
So, Kite probably has the potential, both being based off of or having the soul of the original Kite, whether your Nen ability transfers with your soul transferring bodies. We don't know that yet. And combined with whatever is in there for the royal family or royal children, because like you said, Meruem, having absorbed all of that energy, was like born one of the strongest people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And Kite should be somewhere in that bracket, but we know that Kite is going to use their abilities differently just based on the previous life that he had, and like we knew what kind of person he was, that he loved animals. He said to Gon in the first chapter, like, all great hunters are loved by animals.
Right.
We see that he was kind of like a zoological hunter based on what he was doing in Kaken when they showed up. So I'm not sure where he's going to end up being on the power scale of everybody. I hope that Kite was reborn not to just be closure for Gon, but to actually have an appearance in the story later and actually be involved, like, as someone who drives the plot rather than just someone who makes a cameo appearance so everyone could say, yay, Kite. And more so, like, be involved in a level that's actually going to make the story interesting going forward.
Right. And that's part of the whole aspect that I have with his rebirth. Because, yeah, I mean, obviously, you come out of that with, in terms of main character, everyone's intact. Right? In terms of, oh my god, we had this loss of Kite. Kite's dead. There's the first, like, real impactful death to the antagonist this entire story. Or not the antagonist, sorry, the protagonist this entire time.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's like, oh, well, he's not really dead because he's alive. And he's here. And I get to have this conversation. It's part of the whole aspect of kind of when I was talking earlier, I when we were talking about the Greed Island arc, was it the Greed Island arc or whatever, like when that whole thing happened with Gon, but we'll get to it. We'll get to that point at some point. But it, I mean, so far it's just the aspect of one of my again, Togashi's a great author, but one of my biggest pet peeves about him is that his arcs don't necessarily have any sort of fallout for, or I can't think of the word right now, but it's the, when you, like, consequences.
Yeah, because there's a lack of finality for the main characters. I think everyone else in the story has consequences.
Right.
Because we know that all of the people who were turned into Chimera Ants, like, now they have to deal with that for the rest of their lives. Like, their loss of their humanity plus, like, the fact that they probably actively want to eat people. I think they said there was, like, 400 plus thousand people who died in NGL.
Yeah, so that's a lot.
Like, the consequences are real, but they're not necessarily lasting for the protagonist, and that's obviously why we want Gon to not regain his Nen, right? Because if he does, that means that the sacrifice that he made in the Chimera Ant arc, whether we wanted him to or not, the sacrifice that he made in order to take revenge for Kite's death and by extension help humans not end up enslaved to the Chimera Ants, like, it's meaningless, right? Because Kite's still alive. Gon's still alive, and if he regains his Nen, then there were zero consequences at all, and obviously that's frustrating as a reader who's older and, like, has certain desires for the way the story would be written. And unfortunately, it's a Shonen Jump series, so there are some rules in terms of how dark it can be. Like, I don't think you're really allowed to kill off your main protagonist. So Gon's life was never really in jeopardy.
No, and I don't think I was asking for it, the main protagonist to be dead, right? That's not what I was talking about. I think it's just the aspect of, like, there isn't any time where, like, this was, you know, from when we're looking at it from the perspective of as you're looking at it, this was a huge character development opportunity change for Gon, because his death affected the main character and it caused him to go and divert into a route that made him, in my opinion, a very different character than when he was prior to this moment. It basically turned him a completely different way. And by the way, I was going to say, the whole aspect about the Gon thing, about how we feel about it, I was like, we're going to piss off a lot of people when we get to that episode, but that's next week's episode, I think. So we're not going to get too much into Gon right now. But yeah, we are both on the same page on that one. I think Ed might agree too. I'm actually not entirely sure about his thoughts on the whole Gon thing, but with the fact that, you know, he dies and, like, Gon has to, like, he comes back and he's like, he gets to have his closure, essentially, as opposed to being like, I never, like, just going through life and being like, I didn't get a chance to save Kite and my actions led, you know, down this road of revenge and vengeance and all this stuff, and then Kite has to basically comes back from the dead to prevent him from feeling bad about himself. Right. And he shows up, tells him he's okay, that he should be happy, that you did what you needed to do, we both need to train better, and now you need to go find Jin. And then that's where he, like, takes off and he goes and finds Jin, and that whole entire thing happens. And again, we'll talk about that next episode, but it felt to me like it was like he got thrown in as a way to kind of have the happy Shonen Jump finale that you get, that you're talking about. When that arc necessarily wasn't, like, nobody, like, I feel like the way the arc handled the death of Meruem and Kumugi and the bodyguards and everyone, where it was like, yeah, they basically got nuked and freaking they got killed because of poison. And that the way that they went out and they died around that way was, like, so dark and so real, though, because he, like, was, you know, alluding to how we as human beings handle our problems. We just nuke everything and we bomb everything. We have that sort of, like, let's just throw that at our adversary. That it made it really kind of like a weird, like, the story was really mature, and then all of a sudden you have this thrown in as hey, happy, like, not necessarily happy, but, like, the main character isn't going to be completely ruined from this moment forward, because now he's going to smile and you can smile again.
Right.
As the song says.
We end up with a non-bitter version of Gon, right? Because Gon gets everything he's wanted, right? He gets to meet his dad. He survives because of great sacrifice on Killua's part. He ends up completely separating himself from his family. Like, literally the only person Killua has left is Aluka and Nanika, technically, since they're two separate people. But he's burned every other bridge. And Bond doesn't even realize yet the extent to which he's completely destroyed his relationship with Killua. So he gets to meet his first father figure in Kite, in the new form, but still alive, still with wisdoms to dispense for him. And he gets to meet his actual father. And while the dude is squirrely, he's not the best guy. Like, that was still the goal gone had since the beginning. And his burden that he was carrying throughout the arc has been lifted by Kite. And like you said, he's able to walk out of that meeting, like, happy.
Right.
Whereas the more realistic consequences would have been for Kite to remain dead, and then for Gon to, even after he's gotten revenge on Neferpito, like, killing Neferpito in that moment was ego, and that's it. Like, that's an empty victory, because in that moment, Kite is still dead. Like, his goal was to fight Neferpito and force her, for them, to turn Kite, the puppet, back into Kite, the person. And in that battle, in that confrontation, Neferpito's like, oh, no, once I do that, they're already dead.
Right.
And I don't have the ability to heal something that's dead. Neferpito's other ability is as a healer. And Gon, like, being faced with that information takes further, right? So now this is all my fault. I can't even fix it. This guy is gone forever. And he makes the sacrifice, kills Pito. No smooth, like, resolution. Because now he's on the verge of death. Killua has to do the thing to bring Gon back to life. And then, like, one of the first things that he learns after he meets his dad in the area where they're having the election is Kite still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I do think that it would be more interesting, and maybe I would have continued to like Gon had Togashi instead gone with Kite being dead, and now, like, he's waking up in the hospital. He's going to meet his dad, and they're having instead a somber conversation about Kite. Like, what, right, he's saying, like, where Jin instead is the one consoling him and saying, hey, like, it's not your fault. I know Kite, he does kind of say this in that moment, like, if Kite sent you guys away, then Kite made a judgment himself.
Yeah, well, like, Kite knew what he wanted to do, right? Like, it was the aspect of Kite. Kite's an adult.
Like, yeah, he says too, like, if he thought you guys were weak, he never would have brought you into NGL.
Right.
Like, he already made a judgment about how strong you guys were. So, like, it's not that you let him down or anything like that. It's just he came up against a strong opponent. And I think, like, the weight of the conversation, like, being more somber and being, like, not only, I think Jin would have come off better too. If Kite had actually died, because now he's in a situation where he's, like, mourning his student, mm-hmm, as well as trying to console his son at the same time. And instead they went for that interaction being funny, with all the people in the room, like, ready to kill Jin, rather, for abandoning his son and all, right, this stuff. So I think it would have come off differently. Like, you have this kid now who would have realized that he sacrificed everything, gained nothing. And then the journey he would have had to go on, like, mentally and emotionally when he went back to Whale Island, would have him emerge when we see him again, whether he has Nen or not, as a completely different person. And I think that would have been interesting to then, once you put him on Killua's path again, and now these guys are interacting awkwardly because of how they left off, where, like, one of the last things Gon told him was, like, it's easy for guys like you to just abandon everything because nothing matters to you. And learning that Killua was the one that saved his life, and having to deal, like, with repairing that relationship, or trying to repair that relationship, as, like, a broken dude who's maybe started to work on himself and realized that things came super easy to him because of what he'd inherited from his family. And now, like, he has to start over. And that journey, I think, would have been more rewarding had these things, like, actually happened to him, rather than him getting everything he wanted and he's just had the detour for a while of having his Nen sealed and being in a coma, I guess.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of how it goes, but he remembers everything though, right? Like, mm-hmm. So it's not like he lost any track of any time. Like, he remembers from the moment that, I guess, he fought Pito and then came back and whatever, but then Gon also comes back from the coma. And again, at the time, it's... I don't recall how the manga handled this because it's been a while. I might have to go back and reread this. But in terms of the 2011 anime, Gon doesn't know that who actually, like, the lengths that people had to go to save him, right?
No.
He doesn't.
Killua left, I think.
Well, he tells him, Killua tells him at the very end. Mm-hmm. Where they're right before they're at the World Tree, before he's like, hey, I'm gonna go and talk to my dad. And the whole entire time, you remember how this is one of the weird things about that aspect of Kite's involvement, right? Because Kite's like talking to Gon and Killua about Jin when they first transport to him. And I think we find out that because Gon wanted his dad to meet Killua, that he sent him over to Jin, or to Kite instead of to have him, because he's like, if he comes by himself, send him to me. If he comes over with anyone else, send him to Kite, because Kite had been his kind of go-to backup person. So
yeah.
Part of me feels like that was sort of, and again, we got introduced to Kite again in that moment, because that was the end of the Greed Island arc. But with the impact of like, had that not happened, you know, I think there's some sort of responsibility there to, like, that had Kite Jin not send Kite over, or them to Kite, like, this wouldn't have happened. So that's part of the aspect of, like, there is responsibility there. And he goes, look, like, dad, why the fuck did you do this? Like, that shouldn't have been the thing. But again, the way that the Kite and Jin dynamic is that they both know, and they both have an understanding of each other, and they both think that this is all part of a deeper connection with one another, which is alluded to in chapter one, right, where he's like, your dad's the best, Jin's the best hunter I've ever met, he's the whole reason why I wanted to be a hunter, and I want to hunt him, and it's so exhilarating, it's everything that I've ever wanted in my life. And that's the thing that drives Gon into doing that, obviously, based on the manga. Anime is different. Anime doesn't deal with that. So at the end of the day, like, I still feel like there was the dynamic between Gon and Kite was so valuable during the arc, and especially the part where, like we said, when Pito tells him that he can't do that, to which Gon just breaks down completely. He just starts crying. He doesn't, like, know what the hell's happening. He's just takes him completely out of it. But I don't understand, like, how Gon, like, didn't see that Kite was dead when
maybe just, like, maybe that was, like, his childish optimism at that point. Because obviously, I think Knuckle and Shoot knew.
Right.
I think Killua knew as well, but Gon was the only person who, like, stubbornly refused to acknowledge it. Because in his world, like, this is a dude, like, his dad is the strongest hunter in his mind, and this is a dude that his dad, like, personally raised. So Kite is still invincible to him, probably. Like, he maybe thinks the same way that little kids look at their parents, and, like, their parents are, like, the strongest people in the world, they're superhuman, they're indestructible, and then, like, a parent gets sick, and now, or maybe dies, and now the child is, like, confronting the truth of, like, your parents are mortal, and this is the lesson that Gon was supposed to be learning at this point. Like, obviously, it's kind of undone by Kite surviving, but that survival was supernatural rather than the natural thing. Like, this person, this creature in Neferpedo killed Kite, beheaded him. Like, you can see from the stitches and everything that he was put back together after he was destroyed.
Right.
But Gon, I guess, in his like optimism and his hope, looked at Kite and didn't see a dead body, like, cruelly animated from beyond the grave. He saw maybe, I guess, something more akin to, like, someone being controlled against their will. And, like, the program is so strong that the only way to break it is to kill the person. But then you have the person in front of you, like, they don't have any reason to lie at this point. Like, they're facing their own death, whether at Gon's hands or Meruem's hands. And they're, like, there's nothing in him that's alive. Died the day we had that fight. I broke him. But when I fought him, I wanted to play with him. I wanted to extend his life. So I did the only thing that I could do, which is put him back together and make him into a puppet, because I wanted to continue to play. But then I realized he was dead. So the same lesson that Gon is supposed to learn in the situation is the lesson that Neferpedo learned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, humans are fragile, and while some of them are strong, they can very easily be killed. And once they die, that's it. But Gon still was unable to completely swallow this lesson, and that's why he's so insistent on revenge and all this. You have Killua, who grew up, like, not only surrounded by death, but participating in the murder himself, even as a small child. He knew immediately, and he was trying to tell his friend, and, like, their friendship only ended up crumbling under the weight of, like, Gon's grief and his despair and his, like, selfish understanding that he was the only person that this was happening to, right? I'm the one that loves Kite. I'm the one that's Kite's friend, or that feels like Kite is, like, an older brother. So his death only affects me, not right. you. You're only somewhat upset because I'm sad, but you don't really have the emotional ability to deal with this. But that goes more into Gon and his breakdown and the way he was handling this whole thing. But yeah, I think that sort of sums up.
Yeah.
From a story perspective, why we feel that Kite dying may have served it better.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's kind of where I was going to with that, is that is something that I would have liked to have seen be more permanent in it. But again, like you said, it is a Shonen Jump story. Therefore, there's certain things that you potentially can't do. But there's a lot of other Shonen Jump stories that have had a mentor role type figure die. You know?
Yeah.
This isn't the first time that has happened.
I think, too, it maybe has to do more with, like, when this came out, rather than, like, it can't happen at all. Because obviously we've had a lot of stories since then that have been dark from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are just now getting animes, and, like, you're able to see, like, the violence, the brutality, the gloom, the despair, all that stuff on the screen. But this stuff in Hunter x Hunter happened in the early 2000s, I think, in the manga. So this is, maybe it's sort of, it would have been different if he were writing it today. Because obviously we see now that he's, like, way more free and liberal about killing people. And even though nothing with the main characters has been permanent yet, it feels more likely that things will be permanent. And like that's sort of like a commitment towards Togashi. Like, even though we have in the back of our minds that like, this is Shonen Jump, like he won't really do anything to these people. Like, Gon's condition after the Nan contract wore off was horrible, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a 12, 13 year old, like, we're watching in the hospital just dying, and nobody's able to do anything. Like, if Killua didn't have magic, this kid was gonna die,
right?
So it's very possible, like, the next thing that happens will be permanent. And I hope it does go that way.
Yeah. And again, I think as far as Gon goes, I think that has been the case. And I think that that's why we are somewhat, you know, moving on from that. And we're going into this. But again, I don't necessarily want to get too much into that because that's going to be safe for his own episode. But in terms of, I mean, it's hard to not talk about Gon when we're talking about Kite, because, again, Kite is the main driving force behind the manga story, because without Kite getting involved, Gon doesn't know about his dad, and he doesn't know the aspect of being a hunter, which is what drives him away from Anmito and to do all that stuff, and basically sets the story in motion type thing, right? He's that mentor role person that you see in chapter 1, and then you don't see him again until chapter like 140 something or 86. Yeah, so you don't see him until like, you know, 185 chapters later. So that being said, with the level of that implemented, you see how that much has an effect on the main character and the driving force. And so that's why now where we're in the story, it's much, much further along. We're in the next arc and stuff. And again, based on the last couple of chapters that we had before the hiatus happened, I don't think anyone has any idea where the hell the story is going, other than Togashi and his people, because like we could have guessed, but who would have known that we're going to get the things that we did in the past?
No one.
So again, I'm not going to sit here and kind of like hypothetically say that Kite isn't going to be part of the story further, because he is. I mean, I would imagine that he is, because he's still alive. Like, there's, like I said, if he doesn't come back, it's going to be pretty weird, considering the fact that like, how much Togashi went out of his way to write and make sure that he was on there, right? Like, to make sure that he came back, because he did it at a moment, because he introduced the little baby shortly after the queen got murdered by Meruem. So it wasn't like he added it like way, way later on. It was like he had it in there at that part in the beginning. So again, it's more of the aspect of like, you know, we hope that there is a level of, I guess, continuation for this character, because again, I feel like he is someone that it deserves to have more development.
Yeah.
Especially if you brought him back.
And I guess we would also, it at this point, it seems as though like Kite is the only entity in this body. Like you said, like Reyna is a completely separate person. But it would be interesting to see, along with like Kite's growth, if it's not just their former humanity in control. What does being a Chimera Ant, how does that impact the character going forward? And where's the line? Like, how much will the character change as a result of not just being a Chimera Ant, but also like having died. Because in that conversation with Koala, Koala talks about how he never believed in the concept of a soul. And so that was how he was able to kill so many people. Like, it doesn't matter. You live and then you die. It doesn't make a difference. There's nothing in the afterlife. Like, my sins don't matter. And once he was reborn as a Chimera Ant, like, now he has to face the idea that my accumulated sins may make a difference. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see the character of Kite, like, struggle with that, like, necessarily philosophically, but like with this knowledge of having died and now come back to life. Like, you don't die and come back in a whole new body and be aware of everything, have all your memories, and that not have an impact.
Right. And that's where, again, just the way that the story has evolved since then, you know, because I mean the Chimera Ant arc ending wasn't that long ago. Well, maybe it was because of the hiatus, but in terms of the story,
right,
it wasn't that long ago, right? It's just
this one picked up straight after,
right?
Like, not a lot of time has passed
to be able to have that sort of conclusion or foresight into the story of Kite. But again, you brought up the whole aspect of Periston and the eggs and all that, and you know, for all we know, that could have an impact on the outside of it all, because that definitely, I could see that being a huge plot story going forward, you know. So that right there is again part of the aspect of where I think it'll be very interesting to see where Togashi takes this. And you know, hopefully, like we said, where your with the release schedule that they have, maybe he's able to provide more story, move the story more fluently, and that he'll have that that story development faster, so that we can get into different arcs and different characters. Because again, not that we didn't care about the stuff that's happening on the boat, but setting a lot of this based around the mafia on characters that we didn't really care about, or we had just been introduced here, and even introducing new characters during this, like the princess's friends, it leaves a lot of questions out in the open, right? Like, it's just like it just kind of has like a whole bunch of different big old question marks everywhere, because there's just so many potential plot points that could be hit or arranged in certain parts.
Yeah.
So
pretty obviously we're looking forward to what happens next and how Kite and the associated characters, the other Chimera Ants, his former hunter friends and subordinates, like how they're all going to be weaved into the story going forward. But on that note, I guess our next episode will be on Gone.
Well, I figured, because we're going by chronological order, right? So, because Kite is essentially the very first character we get introduced to in the manga.
Well, after Gone. Is Gone's there?
No. If you like, literally open up the chapter. Oh, because
he's narrating?
Yeah. Not only that, but also he's literally on the cover spread. Cover like page. If you're reading it in order, he is the very first person you see. So, and then you see Gon with the fishing pole and that. But
I don't know how I feel going chronological order forever. But
No, of course not. But I mean,
we can head towards the main characters next.
Would you like to go in a different order? I'm up for whatever.
I just mean like after them.
Oh, after them. Yeah, chronologically, no, of course. Yeah.
Wouldn't be great. Cuz we get a lot of people we don't care about.
Right.
And you'd want to save them for later, ideally. Yeah, if you guys are listening to this and you want to talk to us about Kite, or you want to send in your feelings about Gon, I guess, for us to read sometime in the future, you send us an email at hxhpodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter at hxhpodcast or on the website at droppingthex.com.
Yeah.
And since Ed's not here, I guess the climax.
Yeah, we have to say it on penis. We have to say it on his behalf. The climax is Ahsoka's penis without Ed. Hopefully he's feeling better.